Chapter 7. 1020 GMT. Aboard the Almirich, the crew worked through the aftermath of their alarms. Jim tried to think it through. The first alarm. I thought I saw, I don't know, a flicker in the light, just before the alarm went off. Ito Katsuo spun in the air, quickly scanning the displays. One thing at a time. The cause of the first alarm is obvious. We lost primary power, the solar power, the panels, all of it. As the alarm sounded, we were already switched over to battery power. She checked more displays with competent taps, which we are running down right now. Nominal use for outages. They should last 8 hours. After 12 hours, we have to make a mandatory internal evacuation to the storm shelter, with all the battery power dedicated to sustaining that. After that, a little less than another 12 hours to battery exhaustion, if we are lucky, as you know. That was a standard timing, Jim knew. Their 24 lithium-ion batteries were good engineering, but were designed as backup for short periods when the primary power source, the big external solar panel array, was out of action. Only short outages had been anticipated. The batteries wouldn't last long. Privately, he suspected they might not even make the 8-hour minimum target. His thinking felt as slow as glue. So, he said, the solar panels are offline. Obviously, Ito said heavily, not quite sarcastically. But that shouldn't happen. What can go wrong? The panels are always in sunlight. They are damn near foolproof. The technology is so simple and robust, and decades old. That was true. The ship's power system, solar panels, and backup batteries dated back in spaceflight history to the ISS, the International Space Station, and earlier. And between Earth and Mars, unlike in Earth orbit like the ISS, the craft was in perpetual sunlight. Even if it had lost altitude and started to pitch and roll, say, the huge external solar panels, great black sails around the hull, were smart enough to have reoriented themselves to keep facing the sun. He said lamely, the panels can't have failed. Ito shrugged. Yet they have. Marina said, inspecting the displays. And now that second alarm. That wasn't the power system again, actually. Which Jim had assumed it must have been. Then what? The navigation system. It's lost its lock on the sun. Still picking up the beacons at Earth. And the star sensors all seem to be registering, but nothing from the sun's sensors. She checked further. In fact, we haven't lost positional information. Or attitude. The systems are smart enough to take a majority pole and maintain position. But they're recording a possible fault with the sun sensor. The system's just confused, I think. More bewildering news. It occurs to me, Jim said slowly, we should take a look out the window. They exchanged glances. For instance, in case we have somehow lost the solar arrays. Let's go see. Marina said, how could that possibly happen? Ito laughed softly. What if it has happened? Even if impossible. Here we are, staring at screens. Of course we should look outside. Maybe even now, nearly 100 years after Gagarin, human eyes and brains can still make a difference. Perhaps we have been overtrained. Marina frowned. Mission protocol, though. We should be backing up into the storm shelter already. Jim hesitated. Okay. But Ito is telling us that at least one system is confused right now. So the warning is ambiguous. I think the protocols allow us to check a little further, get more data. Let's take a look out there. Come on. No shoving. They hovered in the air, crowded before a port. A small aperture, thick safety glass, and for once Jim wished the designers had made the viewports larger. The sky was cut in half. Jim saw a starscape above, a black plane below. Sharp-edged as far as he could see. The plane was a solar panel array, deep black, so as to absorb the sunlight energy efficiently. But there was always some reflection, and strong solar illumination usually highlighted the non-absorbing frame, the reflective struts that held the flimsy panels in place. None of that now, just that black floor. "That's Array Beta," he said. "Of course we didn't lose the arrays. There's no indication of a failure of connectivity. And if the arrays had been physically ripped off, catastrophically, we'd have felt it." "The ship probably wouldn't have survived such an event at all," Ito said. "Right, but Beta should be in sunlight just now." "Well," Marina said, "there's no sunlight to be seen out there." She lifted a handheld screen to record the view. Waved it so it caught the distant stars, Jim guessed. "Which makes no sense," Ito said. "Maybe... what? Did we roll? Is the sun on the far side of the hull now?" "Impossible," Jim said. "Even with total instrument failure, we'd have felt it, felt any roll." They looked at each other. Marina said, "Impossible or not, let's go see." They crossed the inner space, huddled around a port on the far side of the hull. "Same view," Ito said unnecessarily. "The panels. There's the Alpha Array. Another black cutout. And the distant stars. No sunlight here either." Marina lifted her handheld monitor. "I've been running quick visual checks. Eyeballed the sky with this. The stars are where they are supposed to be. I mean, we haven't rolled. And as you say, we'd have felt it. Our orientation is correct. But no sunlight on the arrays. Correct?" They drifted away. "Think it through," Jim said, trying to slow his speech to match the dull plod of his thoughts. "We get no power from the arrays. We don't see any technical problem with the arrays themselves, the feeds to the batteries. We haven't suffered any kind of catastrophic failure. The arrays are there, and their orientation is correct." Marina looked from one to the other. "We already said all that. You are avoiding the obvious. We all looked out there. The solar panels are still there. They have no faults. They are providing no output because there's no input. But there's no sunlight striking the panels." A leaden pause. "Very well." Ito checked more displays. "How can that be? Have we fallen into some kind of shadow? Of a mass of some kind, an asteroid? It would have to be pretty large to occlude us completely. And even if the ground hadn't warned us about the close approach, the proximity radar would have picked it up, oh, days ago. A system which is working, I see now. Anything larger than a grain of pulverized asteroid dust would have been flagged as we approached it." "Not a shadow, then," Marina said, growing angry now. "This isn't playing fair, so what is it?" She glared out of the window again and pointed. "The sun should be right there." She pointed into black, empty space. The master alarm sounded again. This time Marina went to punch it off. She glared in exasperation at fresh readouts. "Another problem. Now our trajectory is drifting. Just minutely, but yep, we're going off course. Like a steady thrust is being applied. Some kind of air leak?" "I doubt it," Ito said. "Surely this is connected to the big picture." Marina glared. "What big picture?" Ito said, "Sunlight gone. So we lose solar power. We lose sunlight navigation, all in an instant. And we start to drift off course. Our orbit around the sun, as if..." She ran down, shrugged. Jim said, "You were about to say, as if we lost the sun's gravity, as well as its light." "It's insane," Ito said. "It doesn't fit." "Quite right," Marina said. "The question is, what do we do about it?" Jim tried to focus. "That's clear enough, at least. We follow our training. We get in that damn storm shelter, and we close the door, and we wait for some kind of proper feedback from Soup. And then, When we're sure we know what the situation is, we figure out what we need to do. There was no argument. They all pushed through the air towards the storm shelter's sturdy, open hatch. "But the trouble is," Marina murmured, "if something really has happened to the sun itself, some monster flare, I don't know. Soup will have their own problems today. All of Earth will."
"They won't forget us," Jim said firmly, "whatever's going on down there."
"And nor will she forget me, no matter what's happening over on the lodestone." He slammed the door closed behind them.